Welcome to this podcast produced by Imagine, your resource for early childhood music therapy. Imagine is produced by Della Vista Publisher and can be found on the web at www.imagine.musictherapy.biz. The title of this podcast is Inspirations and Hopes for the Future and features Dr. Jane Stanley's responses to questions frequently asked during online trainings and webinars.
All of the research shows gender differences in auditory processing of premature infants, but we do not have that by each gestational age. We know with procedures like multimodal enhancement that we do, the protocol calls for that to be done at 32 gestational weeks. And we know there is a tremendous gender difference in impact. Male infants do not respond as well to complex music while they are being touched with that procedure, as do female infants. And we actually do not provide benefit to male infants if we do the procedure exactly the same as we do it for female infants. So we have differentiated that at 32 gestational weeks for music being given while touch is given. We also know at discharge that female infants are more advanced in auditory processing. But we think that this is going to be so important in the future that we will need to know what the differences are at each gestational age as we talk about developmentally how we apply music therapy techniques. We also need to keep isolating the effects of music. Research is often confounded if we're not very specific about what we're doing. So if a parent is holding a child and singing and the baby shows benefit, is it because the parent was touching the child? All of the research shows that's a huge benefit neurologically for babies in the NICU, is to be held by the parent. What impact did the music have? If we don't isolate the music, we don't document the need for a music therapist to be there. Maybe it was just the parent contact in comparison to the babies who did not get music with parent contact or touch or movement, that the parent is rocking in a rocking chair with the child. So our research needs to isolate everything about what we're doing, what gestational age, what music did we play, how long did we play it, how often did we play it, what decibel level did we play it. We need much more specific isolation for each gestational age to provide the music that is going to be most beneficial. We also need to know the long-term benefits. We hope there are no long-term deficits. We don't know the impact on hearing of the number of minutes of music that we do or the number of hours of music that we do in the NICU as the inner ear is developing. So far, nothing has shown up that there has been any problem with that, but we certainly wish to do no harm. So we need to know what decibel level have we been playing music, how many hours of music were provided, what is the hearing capability of this child as it is older, and how can we ensure that we do not do harm as we are providing something we think is beneficial like music, but it may not actually be as beneficial as we think. One of the latest pieces of research shows that the auditory processing of a premature infant changes as its position in space changes. So whether it's lying on its tummy or its back or its side, impacts the neurological processing of auditory input. So we are now doing a developmental positioning program by gestational age with music to take advantage of the most beneficial auditory processing for neurologic development. But we need more research in this area to know the impact and to ensure that we are meeting the appropriate timeline for processing as we are looking at the position of the baby as we talk about the research that we're doing. The enthusiasm of young people who come into the profession, and I think that is our future, the people who are coming into the program. And music therapy is ever expanding. When I started many years ago in the career, I had no idea I would end up working with premature infants. But I am hearing new theories and possibilities and seeing people go into new areas of music therapy all the time. And I think that that is very exciting. It's a rapidly expanding field, and I think that will continue happening in the future. I hope somewhere in your love of music, there's something related to the lullabies and the interactions that we had with you, and that you relate to music in the same way that I do. Started out in music therapy with specialization in special education, and started doing research in early childhood intervention, thinking the faster you intervene in a problem, the better for the future of a child. And found out that most of the children that I was dealing with in early intervention had been born prematurely, that they were in need of help because of the prematurity itself. I had also been following a line of medical research for a number of years in many, many different areas of the hospital. And so those two things came together when I realized music therapy could be practiced as the earliest intervention possible in early childhood issues if one was in the NICU. But I actually had a graduate student who wanted to do a thesis, and I told her at the time, it's difficult to get in the hospital. Nobody has ever gotten permission to play music for premature infants. You may not be able to do this, but let's see what we can accomplish. So that was the very first research study. The results were so overwhelmingly good. Who would have guessed in all the research that you've done of all the years, all the different kinds of subjects and settings, that you would get these profoundly important benefits for premature babies and just playing background music to reduce stress? Well, I was hooked from that moment. And that student graduated. She actually had a premature baby in the same hospital where she had done the research, and she got to use music with her own child. But it started my own interest in pursuing more and more research with premature infants. And again, every time we go into a new area theorizing that music might benefit some area of care for premature infants, I'm astounded at the positive benefits that we get and how quickly it happens. So I think it's a very magic area of music therapy. I think it makes a huge difference in the child's life. And where is it going? I'm hoping there will be long-term research to show just that. We're getting some now that is showing that it makes a difference, that the neurologic wiring happening very early in response to positive stimuli in the NICU pays off in that child's test scores later on in life. And I'm hoping that we will get more and more adept as we have MRI scans of the premature infant brain to know exactly how much music to use, when to use it, and how to keep it going after the baby is discharged from the NICU. I think all of the future of music therapy is embedded in neuroscience research. I think pictures of the brain convince people that changes are happening, though I'm convinced when I see people being discharged earlier that changes happen as a result of the music. But I think the medical profession demands to see the MRI scans. I have no doubt music is going to demonstrate major positive benefits in MRI scans. The only problem is right now it's a little bit dangerous to do it for infants. They only do it for diagnosing intraventricular hemorrhages. And in the future, it will be a safer procedure, and I'm sure we'll see much more research in that area. So where do I think it's going? I think, to me, somebody will recognize that appropriate stimulation for that infant's brain in the NICU is just as important as medical care. And we've got to have effective stimuli, that music is the most effective stimulus. And there needs to be lots of music therapy for every premature baby. So I made Peter laugh the last time I said this, that we need one music therapist for every two premature babies in the world, that every baby gets enough music that their brain wires with positive attributes for the future.
Thank you for listening to this Imagine podcast produced in 2024.